Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and stand up one more time. You know, the Bible says Psalm 100. It says that we enter his presence with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Amen. Praise and thanksgiving. We don't have to have songs. You don't have to have music to actually praise, because, you know, there's tremendous release of God's power when we praise. Somebody said the highest form of faith is praise, praising God. Thanking God before you get an answer. Thanking in advance, because you thank Him because you know it's going to happen. Amen? That's why it says James 1, it says, count it all joy. Someone under says, you know, we come into His presence with joy and thanksgiving. You know, count it all joy when you are having a great time. No? Count it all joy when you come up against diverse temptations, tests, and trials. So if you're having a trial, then it's time to praise and thank God for it. You know, you think about the children of Israel when they came to, what is that place called again? Joshua chapter 6, when they came against, the enemy there. They're trying to get around Jericho. Is it Jericho? The walls were big and all that and so on. They couldn't penetrate there. And so they began to praise God. And, you know, so they praised God for how many days was it? 6 days, 7 days, they had 7 days, and they walked around and they started to praise. God gave them that instruction to praise. And so they walked around and praised, and the walls fell down. But, you know, if you go back historically, you saw in just Jehoshaphat, you know, he told the people to praise in Second Chronicles in 20. And they began to praise God, and God destroyed the enemy when they began to praise. And Acts chapter 16, as they begin to praise God, you know, they're in prison and they were tied. They were tied together, and they were having a bad time. They were beaten bad. They were thrown in jail for doing good. And Paul and Silas began to praise. I guess he was thinking about Jehoshaphat and his gang as they praised God. And so, you know, sometimes when people go through a hard time, they walk around just ragged and they don't believe that nothing's going to happen. And so the only time they ever praise God is when they see something that might be happening on their end, you know. So you need to go around thanking God, learning how to praise God in spite of what you see, in spite of what happens, what's going on in your life. We thank God. So that's why Psalm 100 says we come to His presence with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. So let's go ahead and lift our hands and thank God right now. Thank God for whatever is happening in your life. Thank in advance. Father, we want to praise You. We thank You for, some of us are believing for finances. We're thanking You for finances right now. We're thanking You for things to change in our situation, Lord God. Our maybe there are circumstances that are negative against us. So we're praising You, thanking You that they're going to change and turn around. So we're thanking You by faith. Some of us have physical challenges where there's sickness in the body. There's things happening. In the name of Jesus, oh, we praise You. We thank You. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Thank You that the victory is ours. Thank You that I'm more than enough. Thank You that I have strength to go through trials. I thank You that You are my strength. I don't have to do things alone, that the grace of God's carrying me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. We give You praise and thanksgiving and honor and glory. Thank You, Lord God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. And amen. I'm going to have to teach about prayer again, because you're too quiet. So we have to have tremendous praise. Glory to God. All right, we're going to talk tonight a little bit about a certain subject that I think we can all handle. If you go to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's go to verse 34. And we're going to look at a few items here that we're going to talk about overcoming love, the power of love, the love of God in our hearts, John 13:34, and I want us to really help ourselves with looking at the screens. If you don't have a Bible, if you have an iPhone, you can download an app, a Bible app, and you can get different versions of the Bible on it. You can change the versions as you go along, and you can check on it to get the real good notion of what the Bible is saying. And so I would encourage you to do that. So chapter 13, this is Jesus talking, and we're going to read 13:34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have given you, or that as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're all my disciples. You know, what does it say? If you, what? Have love for one another. So, lots of relationships are in deep peril or destruction because they are not operating in the law of love. And so we want to operate in the law of love. This love, he says, a new commandment. So this love that he's talking about is not a, you know, it's not an option. You know, you should love each other. An option means, you know, you can take it or leave it. It's not a take it or leave it thing. Jesus said, this is a commandment. That means if you have hurts, if somebody hurts you, that means you got to forgive them. If they abused you, you got to forgive them. If they stole something from you, you know, you have to forgive them. If you were a little child, maybe somebody stole something from you, you know, a little toy, you got to forgive it. You got to forgive somebody. So, this love that God is asking us to do, some say it might be a hard thing to do to love. A new commandment, it says, I've given to you. So, it's a commandment of love. And so the Bible talks about four kinds of love. You know, if you look at the Bible, there's four kinds of love in the New Testament. And we can see that, you know, it's all throughout the Scriptures. Let me just give you, show you something here for a second. Now, so I want us to, first of all, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 48. We want to show that on the Amplified Bible. So let me just come back to something here. You know, Jesus said a new commandment must I give unto you, that you love one another. Everybody say, love one another. So it's important to see this, that God wants us to love. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just like I loved you. And so I want you to see this in the Amplified Bible up here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. I want us to see this because some of you don't have an Amplified Bible, you don't have an app. So let's look at this. He said, this is God's definition of love. Everybody said, God's definition of love. In other words, you know, when the word love is given, this is what God is talking about. A lot of times in Scripture. So if he said he wants you to love your neighbor is people that you are, have relation with, people around you that you have are, like you wouldn't have to think about this if you didn't have a neighbor that you had problems with. A neighbor could be anybody that you might be offended. If you've been offended, if you had a hurt, if you had some kind of odd against someone, you're at odds with someone, So it says here, love endures long. This is the kind of love that God says. A new commandment I give you. This is what he's talking about. He said, love endures long, is patient. How many people have been impatient lately? Okay. So all the TC guys lift their hands. So we got to pray for them. Okay, I guess all of us can do that, eh? So, and kind. Sometimes, you know, when you're not kind to people, you know, there's other scriptures that, you know, be kind to one another. Ephesians chapter 5, and talks about it there, verse 28, 30, or somewhere on there. It said, be kind to one another. So God wants us to be kind. Has anybody ever been unkind to you? You know how that feels when someone's not kind to you? Okay, be kind. Love is never envious or boils over with jealousy. You know, envy is a tough thing when you envy somebody that's being blessed. You know, you just have this feeling inside you. You don't want to see them blessed. You just wish they wouldn't be blessed at all. Okay, so that's what your envy is. You envy somebody. You don't like the fact that they're blessed, but you envy what they got. You wish they were not. So envious or bowls over a jealousy. You're not jealous because they got something. Sometimes in Christendom, in church, you know, somebody gets blessed. They got a new car. People get mad at them. They got a promotion, you know. So this happens. No, why would God tell us? Why would God tell us to understand this if this doesn't happen in church? It happens in church. So you have to see, you know, God's trying to teach us something, that this is not automatic. Okay, just because you're born again, this doesn't develop instantly because you got saved. It's there potentially, but we want to grow in it. We want to develop in it. Okay, Ernie, be quiet. Okay, so it said, love is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Go to the next one. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. So this is where you get into relationships. People think, you know, well, I have my say-so. I have my right. And so sometimes, you know, you could have your say-so, but you might lose that relationship because you can't say everything you want to say all the time in your heart. You got to be able to hold back and be kind. Use kind words. So it does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Some people say my way or the highway. And a lot of relationships break up because of this, because it's not about your way. Love is kind and it's gracious. So I didn't mean that. Ernie, please come back. Yeah. It's not self-seeking. It is not touchy. Fretful or resentful. Like some of you, you know, in our house, we can't be touchy in the morning. Some of us are touchy in the morning. We had your first coffee. Okay? So you have to, we're not mentioning any names, girls. There's girls, we're not mentioning any names. So we're not going to be touchy or fretful or resentful. Okay? Love doesn't hold back resentment. You don't resent people if you're going to love somebody. Jesus or God says, don't be resentful. Okay, so, and takes no account of the evil done to it. So love doesn't take track. Okay, you hurt me once, I'm going to get you again. I'm going to make sure you suffer for what you did to me. I'm going to make sure I'm going to do whatever I can to make your life miserable. So that's not love at all. That's destructive. And if you're operating in that kind of love, you're going to go down. You're going down. Okay? So it pays no attention to suffer wrong. So this is God's definition of love. God wants us to operate in this kind of love. And so here's where we get, you know, sometimes people get really upset because they feel that they can't walk in this kind of love. Okay, so let me just remind you, okay, the four types of love. Number one is in the Greek, if you have a Bible, you know, the original text in the New Testament is written in the Greek. So this is where we get our translations from. So the word storge is the first definition, and this is not what we talked about there. So storge is what we call empathy. This is the kind of love that you have between, this is emotional kind of love. And then you got, philia, which is a friendship love, is love between friends. The first one, the storge love, is emotional love that we have between in family. Family. Everybody say family. So you have that kind of camaraderie in your family where you just love each other, you have good feelings with each other. Sometimes they can be disturbed by not following the love of God. Philia is the friendly love, friendship love. It means the love between friendships. And then there you got the third one is eros. It means romantic love or physical love. It's a romance love that you have between married couples. Physical or sexual love. And then you have agape love, which is the scripture we just read. The definition is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8. That's God's definition of love When you read it in Amplified, it takes the Greek word, the main text, and he translates it into our own everyday English. And so that's where you find this translation. You know, so the Amplified does it for us, helps us understand what love is. So you need to look at that definition in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and ask yourself, do I fit my behavior and my feelings? Do I fit that, meaning or that kind of a table of understanding? Does it fit my behavior or the way I'm operating? So we want to talk about this kind of love. God is asking us to love our neighbor, love each other. Let me just look at, again, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, 38, the King James Version. And this is Jesus talking here. Jesus said unto him, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 38, I'm reading the King James Version. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. They were asking, this guy was asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? Everybody say the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. Jesus went on to break down the greatest commandment in two separate situations, or at least two separate parts. He said the greatest commandment is to love God. Love God. I want to ask everybody here, you don't have to raise your hand, I'm going to ask you, how many of you love God? How many of you love God? And so that's the question you have to ask yourself. Do I love God? I remember when I was a kid, I was in catechism classes. The teacher there was actually, I went to a Christian school. And, the teacher asked me, he said, you should love God. We're just little kids. And she said, God loved you. And so I walked home that afternoon, walked home in the afternoon, 3:30, 4 o'clock, walking home. It takes me about half an hour to walk home. And I was thinking about it and walking along the beach and saying, loving God, I don't know. I don't know if I love God. I was just a young boy, and my young heart was searching for meaning already of life. And I was asking myself if I love God. It was a philosophical situation, moment for me as a young boy. I said, I don't know if I love God. Because I had no connection with God. I had no reference to God. I had never seen God per se. I was thinking from a natural standpoint. I didn't have coffee with God. God never helped me make my bed. I haven't ridden in a car with God. I never physically seen him. So how could I relate to somebody I have never seen before? How could I love somebody I've never seen before? So here I am, just as a little boy, thinking about that. And I think most people are, even if they're 40 and 50 today, you're thinking about how could I love God? I just don't have that relationship with him. I don't know him. How could I love somebody I don't know? And so we ask yourself, that's why I ask you, do you love God? And some people say, yeah, I love God. We're not talking about emotional. I gave you the four definitions or the four kinds of love, storge, which is emotional love. We can say we love God because we were born again, we felt good, we got good things going in our lives. Ooh, I love God. But as you examine your life more closely, you'll find that you're not loving God in terms of the reference of what, the last definition of love, which is agape love. When you say you love God, we're not talking about emotional love. We're not talking about affection towards God. Although we should have affection towards God to some degree. So as we go along, if you notice those four types of love, let's go back to it just again for a reference. What did I give you? What is the four references again? Storge, affection, affectionate love. The next one is what? Philia, which is friendship love. And Eros, which is romantic, physical, or sexual love between married couples. And the last one was what? Agape, which is unconditional love of God. And in that kind of love, you don't put conditions on it. You don't say, I'm going to love you because you're nice to me. Jesus said, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, this kind of love, the love of God, doesn't put conditions on it. If you give me something, I'm going to give you something, but I'm going to know that you're going to give back to me. If you notice, if you thought something right now, if someone asks you something and you know that they will never be able to pay it back, would you give it? Someone who operates in God's love will just give it. They will not expect it back. Jesus taught this in his scripture. That's the highest form of love. You say, how can you operate on it? How can I ever do that? It's just incredible that how could I ever operate in it, because I'm doing bad with people. I'm holding resentment. I'm angry and stuff. So, here's something. All of us have that potential in us to love, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 8 describes. All of us can do that. But we haven't developed in it to the degree which we should. So we only love people who love us. Let's go look at some more scripture here and show you a little bit more. So this is the first commandment, the great commandment. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, this is where he's getting this reference from. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's loving God, thoroughly loving God. So love is not just an emotion. Love is more than an emotion. Love is more seen in word and action. It's how we behave, how we think. And so the question was, how do I know if I love God? Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, the common English version Bible says this. Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will do as I command. Let's go to that scripture. Can we put that up? Do you have common English back there, or you just have regular English Bible? Let's try a New Living. Okay, a New Living Bible. If you love me, obey my commandments. You got the Amplified? What does it say? Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. So he's associating something. Well, if you said you love God, you'll follow what he said to do. So we said that love is seen in word and deed. Wouldn't you say this, if your husband never did anything for you, would you say, if you're married, that he loves you? He never says anything nice to you? Would you say he loves you? Or if your wife, right? So if somebody said they loved you, but they never visit you, they've never done anything for you, they've never spoken to you, they don't say nice things to you, would you say they love you? You couldn't say they love you. Okay, so Jesus is associating behavior, okay, so your actions or behavior with loving. So for you to say I love God and you don't show any kind of behavior that indicates you love God, then you don't really love God like you should be loving God. Right? You don't help people, you don't give people, together here in this church, we love our world, with what we do in our church. We serve in our church, we serve people as a whole. We give into we bring our tithes, we bring our offering, so that we can do the loving through expressing ourselves through this church. God expresses himself through here. And so some of our giftings are different than other churches. Our churches can do other things different. We do something, different than other churches. So our expression is a lot different. Like our ministry style I'm talking about. But if you didn't do what you're supposed to do, then you're not loving the way you should be loving. So you have to ask yourself, do I love God? Then you have to look at the scripture. Am I doing this? Am I following through with this? Am I following through? Just like you would with somebody else. How come we want God to love us when we're not loving God? How come we expect God to love us back when we don't love him? We don't pay attention to him. We don't read his Bible, his scriptures, his words. We don't feed on it. We don't pray to God. We only pray to God when we got trouble. So think about it for a moment. From that angle, just a small angle, it's just one side of it, but it nevertheless answers some questions. Like as a kid, I said, how could I love God? I don't know if I love God or not. I don't feel any kind of emotion. So I was kind of ranging my kind of love with how I felt about God. I didn't feel anything about God. I felt indifferent about God. In my small heart as a kid, I thought, yeah, there is a God. I have a fear of God, and I don't know. I have a kind of an innate ability to understand that there was a God, there is a God. John 14:21, the common English version Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I have said. And my Father will love you, and I will love you and show you what I am like. So, there you go again. So, if you love God, ask yourself, am I doing what he said to do? Am I following? All through the Old Testament, God tells Israel, here's my commandments. Do this, do that, do this. If you do it, I'll bless you. It's reciprocal. The blessing of God comes. I realize this is a very exciting message tonight. Signs and wonders are going on. People getting healed everywhere. You know, so you have to understand this is mature. Now listen to me. In 1 Corinthians let's go there for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we'll go to Romans 5 after that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. He said, I, brethren, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual. Everybody say spiritual. He said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. How many spiritual people do we have tonight? We're not just spirit, then we're natural people. We have emotions, we have intellect. But he said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. Let's define what spiritual is talking about. But as unto carnal, he said, I'm going to speak to you as carnal people, or people who are not even just normal everyday people that don't think about spiritual things. So spiritual people and carnal people are two different things, and he's talking to Christians. Now watch this. He gives three kinds of definitions of a people there. First of all, he said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, and yet listen to this. Are you listening? Okay, somehow I'm feeling that in my spirit. Somebody is just kind of lagging a little bit. Okay, so he said, I want to speak to you as spiritual people. But I'm going to speak to you not as spiritual people, but I'm going to speak to you as a carnal. I'm hearing music. I'm going to speak to you as maybe the president is coming. Okay. So I'm going to speak to you as carnal. So how many spiritual Christians we got? We said, well, yes, I'm here, praise God. And how many carnal Christians do we have in this room? We could say, look straight ahead. So that's not you, okay? So there could be. But here is the Holy Spirit talking through Paul to the church. Now listen to this. He says, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. Listen, these Christians, let's go back to chapter 1 for a second. Let's go to chapter 1. Go to chapter 1. And let's go to verse 4 or 3. Let's start reading. Grace be unto you and peace from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what grace is, right? Grace is that ability to do things or stand in a situation where you can't stand on your own. How many of you ever felt so weak you felt that you couldn't do a job? You know, I want to tell you something. You know, things happen to us in our lives. Every one of us is going to have hard times. So that's why I'm here every Wednesday, every Sunday, or whatever, to show you that you can go through no matter what it is, what's happening to you. If you fail, it's because you're not doing the word. Okay? So I remember one time talking to the Lord, you know, I felt so weak, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I realized that I was low on my word, so I had to get back on the word instantly. I had to go back on the word instantly. If you ever feel that way, you have to go back and say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Everybody say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Say it again. Say, the Lord is the strength of my life. One more time. The Lord is the strength of my life. That means you cannot be weak because God is your strength. You're not depending on you. For Philippians, you know, says, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So you can do whatever you need to do because Jesus, God is going to infuse strength in you. You know, and there's the grace of God. You know that we teach in Bible school? We said there's the grace of God. The grace is the ability to stand no matter what happens in your life. Grace is when God's holding you up. Right? He's holding you up and He's giving you the strength to do whatever you need to do. That's spiritual. You can just sense that in the air right now. The spiritual strength in the air of God will help you. And you could help. You don't have to pray for 10 hours. You can get it instantly. Praise God. Amen. You can get it right now. Spiritually. Somebody said, well, I wish I could get it. Okay. Anyway. Peace from God and the Lord Jesus, Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they had all kinds of spiritual gifts. You know, just because we exercise prophecy and speak in tongues doesn't mean you're spiritual. Okay? It just means there's a spiritual gift operating in you. So, now Jesus talks about, or Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians 13, or 3, verse 1. And I, brother, I could not, everybody say could not, I could not speak to you as spiritual. Wait a minute, I'm confused here. You said I come behind no gift, any spiritual gift. So, here's an answer right there. Just because you can speak in tongues or you can lay hands on the sick and they can receive healing doesn't mean you're spiritual. He said you come behind a no gift. Those guys were operating on the gifts of the Spirit, the Corinthian bunch. And yet God's saying to them by the Holy Spirit through Paul, He said, I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. So what is spiritual and what is carnal? Even as babes in Christ. So he speaks about three kinds of men in the church. Spiritual Christians, carnal Christians, and baby Christians. So we want to get to the spiritual Christian because the outstanding quality of a born-again, mature Christian is the ability to walk in love no matter what. The spiritual Christian, the mark of a spiritual Christian is to walk in love no matter what happens to him in life, no matter what took place, they're going to walk what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, treat everybody the same. Love people the same way as you would have them treat on you. Okay? You have to love people the way you would want other people to love you. I put that on my status today in case you didn't see my status. Somehow I had that in my heart this morning that you need to treat people. If you want to be treated right, you start treating people the way, or treat people the way you want them to treat you. Okay? If you're grumpy, you know, you don't want people to be grumpy, you know. So sometimes we forget, right? You have to stop yourself. Don't walk mindlessly around and just, you know, don't know what you're doing, like you're, you know, spiritually blind. So a spiritual person is somebody, number one, he walks by the law of the Word of God. In other words, he governs his life by the Word of God. So when it comes to walking in love, regardless of how you feel, you have to ask yourself, am I going to act on how I feel, or I'm going to act on what I believe? I believe love is the higher road. If I walk by how I feel or what I think, you can't just act on what you think all the time. This, you know, say for instance, you guys, if you had to operate on what you think all the time, you'd be in disaster, right? Let's walk over here, talk to these guys. Okay, so if you walk on what you thought about, you know, I'm going to express myself, whatever I want to say, I won't tell you. I'm just a straight guy. That's not a good way to live. You'll have no friends. You could be put in jail too. So you can't always say everything is on your mind. You know, you can't always talk about how you feel about everything. No, you got to have some restraint. You can't just do what you want to do. That would not be walking in love. Love just doesn't say what it wants to say. It says, you know what, hey, I better temper this. Ever get mad at somebody and you pick up the phone and say, you know, I'm going to tell this guy, man, I'm just really tell him right off. You pick up the phone, start dialing, and you cancel it. Because in 1 Corinthians 5, it tells us the love of God constrains us. The love of God constrains us, and it tells us, hey, that's not the way to act. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, you put that up there, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Let's go there. Are you doing okay? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're still doing good. All right. Did you get it? See, it said, now, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, everybody say the love of God. Say the love of God. I said, no, what about the love of God? The love of God has been poured. Not trickled, but poured out in where? In your head. In your feelings. So your heart is not your feelings. Your heart in this verse of scripture is not your emotions. That's why you can't act on how you feel. You got to act by that spirit man on the inside of you. Right here. What does it say? Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit was given to us. So God inside you. God's in you right now. And the love of God, that love that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 48, is inside you right now. And sometimes, you know, we have history. You know, people are, we offended people, or we hurt people, or we've done things, or other people have hurt us. And we're hanging on to those resentments. And every time you think about it, you wake up in the middle of the night, you start thinking about it, and the hate starts coming back up. And all of a sudden, in your mind, you're running around, this kind of tape or film playing in your mind, there's a recording playing in your mind, and all of a sudden you're on top of them. And then you got the knife, or you got the bat, or the it's happening inside you. No, none of you ever thought this way. None of you ever thought this way. You know? So this is in your mind, see? So, you know, you could go to jail if you start acting out that way. But here's the love of God. It's constraining you not to act it out. You know, we got a tremendous resource inside of us. And every one of us, I remember, you know, some of us, for some reason, we've had the unfortunate, situation in our life where we've been hurt a little bit more than others at some time. And although we've recovered from it, you know, you could have more hurts, right? More hurts can come. Somebody can do something to you. You have to forgive continually. You ever notice that? You do. Just don't forgive one time. You got to forgive time and time again. So it's a way of life. This love walk is a way of life. We have to put that into operation. So the way you know you love God is your own behavior. It's how you treat other people. What you do with other people. See, you know, you love God. Jesus said you have to love others as I have loved you. And, you know, when Ephesians 5 talks about there, that be kind to one another, we saw there that one of the attributes or descriptions of love is kindness. Being kind to people. Being kind when you don't want to be kind to people. Right? So we're kind to one another. So this is not, this is not something that is done overnight. You might have to work at it a little bit. And sometimes, you know, you slip. You have to forgive yourself, right? That, hey, I haven't done what I should be doing. So, two commandments, Jesus said. Number one, you love God. That means loving God means this. It means that you're going to obey God. That's how you know you love God. Ask yourself, am I obeying what the Holy Spirit is telling me? Or am I obeying according to what I know the Bible says to do? So God says, you love me. And you see in the scripture says, God says, okay, serve and give help people, give you know, money, whatever it is. And you don't do it, then you're not really loving God the way you should be. God's told you, gave you His word. Or His Holy Spirit reminded you that you should be serving some capacity, but you're not. So it's not a condemnation. It's that you have to work this out with God yourself. So the moment you see, the moment light comes in your life, if you're reading the scriptures, studying, then all of a sudden that connection comes. Yeah, you know, I should be doing this. I need to be doing this. That's loving God. So God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to start obeying that. You know. So when you love your parents, it's the same way. You know, if you love your mom and dad, you keep their whatever they tell you to do. You follow through on what they said. And so, you know, if you don't, you won't get a good licking if you're a kid, right? So, but you know, you forgive your parents. They say, I'm gonna give you a spanking. Remember that the comedian says, I'm gonna spank you. It's gonna hurt me more than it's gonna hurt you. But you don't believe them. and they hit hard too. So the characteristic of a Christian, a mature man, is that we walk by the law of love. I'm going to take the law of love, I'm going to apply that to my life today. And if I say I love God, then I have to ask myself, am I obeying the scriptures? Am I walking by the word of God? And am I doing what the Holy Spirit said to do? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will quicken you. So there's two ways God leads you. Number one, by His written word. And number two, by the Holy Spirit on the side of you is telling you to do something. And the way you grow is that then you start quickly obeying the word of God. Then you see, hey, you know, God is in this. He's actually leading me. Let's go to Romans as a close here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. I'm going to read the common English version again, and you might want to get the New Living there. So it says, my dear friends, we must love each other. Love comes from God, or God is love. And when we love each other, it shows we have been given a new life. So that, in the King James Version talks about this, you know, when you really get born again, something happens on the inside of you that tremendous love is released on the inside of you that you want to all of a sudden follow God. You want to do, you give up everything and you'll follow God, whatever, you know, that song, I've decided to follow Jesus. I know when I got born again, I was much like a lot of you guys. I was in and out of jail, doing all kinds of stuff, you know. Most of our guys that I know anyway, who's using drugs or drinking, we're in and out of jail, and you know. So I was that way, and so and the things that happened to me as a kid, and what happened to my family, when the Holy Spirit came into me and forgave me, all of a sudden I felt the liquid love, the love of God came inside of me. And I wanted to follow God 100% and do whatever He said to do. Follow Him 100%. 100% following Him. So, if you had that, that's what it says here. The very first thing that happens to you as a Christian is that you, all of a sudden, you notice love in you. When you're born again, all of a sudden, there's tremendous love. You start to do things that you never thought you'd do before. They go to Wednesday night service. You know, so as a Christian, as a young man, I'm in my mid-20s. I start going to church Wednesday nights. I've never done that in my life. No one told me. My mom didn't take me. My dad didn't tell. No spiritual people letting me. I didn't have a leader taking me to church. I went to church because I wanted to go to church. All of a sudden, I was loving God. And I'm going to coffee with older people and enjoying their presence, enjoying what they had to say to me. And that's the love of God. And visiting the detox centers and praying for people, going to the psych wards and spending time with people, praying for them. They're down and out and just spending the time. So it's the love of God. I wanted to give somebody something. I wanted to give the love that was in me. And it's a tremendous thing that happens to us. So that's what he's talking about here. The first thing that we that happens to us is that when we get born again, love comes. What does it say in the King James there in that verse? Oh, 1 John 4:7? 1 John 4:7? It says, okay, just let me just, don't put it on. Okay, so, okay, there you go. So, I was going to ask you for the King James because it actually says a little bit different. So, beloved, let us love one another, for God, love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So, you know, when you experience God, you experience love. You experience the love of God. You do whatever God says to do, you'll do it. You'll drop something. You'll just go ahead and serve God. You know, that's why, you know, and I look at people who say they're born again, and I have to question myself. I question myself. I said, this guy, they said they're born again, but I don't see the fruit in there. I don't see the obedience in there. I don't see the follow through in there. So when I got born again, man, I was just like gung-ho. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do something. I wanted to follow through on it. And just left everything. Like, you know, some of us who in the early days, we made a turnaround. Just tremendous turnaround. Your friends wonder, what the heck is wrong with this guy? He's totally different. So now we are God's children, it says Common English, it says in the next verse. Now we are now God's children and we know him. God is love, and anyone who doesn't love others has never known him. God showed us his love for us when he sent his only son into the world to give life to us. Real love isn't our love for God, but it's God's love for us. God sent his son to be the sacrifice which of our sins are forgiven. Dear people or dear friends, since God loved us this much, we must love each other. So he's just trying to give an explanation about that. So I want to close with this here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's 3:16. God is a giver. You know, he's a giver. He gave. When you love, you're going to be a giver. You're going to give him all the praise, all the glory. You're going to give him whatever you have. You're going to share from your heart. So let's go ahead and stand up here. God is the giver of life. He's the one that gives us the things that we don't deserve of certain things. So thank God. Father, we want to thank you tonight for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for that love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We thank you that this day is a brand new day. We ask your forgiveness. If we have not walked in this love, we're going to remember it now. Let's all say this together. Say, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Say, I have the God kind of love. I have overcoming love inside of me. I'll overcome evil with the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, go ahead and give somebody a love. Give high fives all around. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are watching the line, if you've been stuck, we want to tell you tonight that God loves you. And wherever you are, if you just say a simple prayer, say, Jesus, I recognize you are the Son of God. Come into my life, and I receive you. I acknowledge that you are the Lord and Savior of the world. I thank you right now that I'm born again. In Jesus' name, write us. If you're in the area, come visit us here at Faith City Church. And we'll see you next Sunday or on the same channel right here. God bless you.